Hello, hello. Welcome to Beyond ADHD, A Physician's Perspective. I am Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash, a dedicated family medicine physician based in the heart of rural Texas. I once saw my ADHD as a hindrance, but now I recognize it as a unique gift that empowers me to be the person I was always meant to be. Join me on this transformative journey as we explore how ADHD, anxiety, and depression can be understood, managed, and ultimately embraced. Over the years, I've learned that unlearning certain beliefs and habits is just as crucial as learning new skills, and I'm excited to share these insights with you. Join me as we engage in candid conversations with experts, exploring actionable strategies to thrive amidst these conditions. Together, we'll uncover practical insights that extend beyond the confines of traditional medicine, unlocking the true potential of a fulfilled life. Thank you for joining me on this incredible journey.
Well, hello, hello. I am so excited today to have a dear friend of mine here, Dr. Anne Song. She's an MD, MPH. She's an emergency medicine, critical care, and aerospace trained physician. So if that's not enough, she's a full-time flight surgeon at NASA. She also works part-time in the ICU and in the ER. And she's a real estate investor and has her own podcast. It's Not Rocket Science Show. And of course, she's a productivity doctor, and she helps guide other people to free up 10 hours or more per week. And that's her zone of genius. She's here to explain to us all the hacks. But of course, she's also a mom, and she's married, and she's juggling all the things. And so I want to invite her here to explain to us why she's doing this, how she's doing this, and give us any tips that can help us optimize ourselves as well. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Deanna. I really appreciate the opportunity. And really, the productivity part just came out of necessity because of all these visions and goals that I have, and especially with the one-year-old I have now. In order to maximize time with him and the husband, I had to find ways to be even more productive than before.
Sure. And tell me one area that you like jumped into, like what was something maybe you were neglecting or just kind of running away from? And now you're like, yeah, this is my go-to. For some people, it's planning. For other people, it's saying delegating tasks. What do you think was one of the things that you were maybe a little challenging, but now you're like, okay, I have a handle it, or at least I can manage, or it's made a big difference?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely delegating, because I used to be very controlling. I feel it's very similar mindset in a lot of people I've coached. Like, I can do it better, I can do it faster myself instead of explaining this, except that once you learn how to delegate, it's one-time effort. And once they learn that one task or one process, then it's multiple results times however many times you have to do that task, if it's a repeated task. So I've gone from, I can do this myself because I know the background information, to now with everything is, do I have to do this? Can someone else do it? Can I delegate this out? Basically, you want to work in your zone of genius and up to the highest point where you're trained to do.
Yeah. And I think for many of us, like you said, the comfort of this is how I've always done it, or the comfort of like, nobody can do it as good as me, or the disappointment of like, it was B+ work, not A+, sometimes keeps us from, like you just said, showing somebody. But the return on investment for not having to do that task over and over, especially if it's something that you don't necessarily enjoy doing, can free up so much time, energy, effort, right? So thank you for talking to that. And I think a lot of us can relate definitely to that. And I know some of us have struggled like with technology, like sometimes with email, or sometimes with like calendar reminders. Do you have any tech hacks that you might have learned or are using or would like to share with us?
Yeah. But before I dive into that routine, I do want to backtrack a little bit and share a point I usually share with my clients. If you want to do something yourself, just multiply that whatever you're doing. Say you have to do laundry 3 times a week, perhaps, right? That's 3 hours, maybe. Well, maybe once a week. Let's do once a week, depending on if you have kids or not. But once a week, that's 4 hours a month.
And then you multiply that by your hourly rate. Say if your hourly rate is like $100 an hour, and if you're doing laundry 4 hours a month, you're spending $400 on doing laundry, whereas probably you can pay somebody maybe $15, $20 an hour to do your laundry. That's $80 versus $400. So that's the way I look at it. Same thing with any sort of data inputting, Excel sheet, any forms, if you're filling out any forms for credentialing or applying for some sort of license renewal, DEA license renewal, all those things. Now I've outsourced to my virtual assistant so that I don't have to spend time filling out forms. Anyway, so that's one part.
Yeah, and that's so important because like you said, we might do the washing of the laundry, but then putting away the laundry or keeping up with, so it's a lot of not just how many hours, but how much mental clutter and how much drag you have that. If you did one part of it, but didn't complete the task, it just weighs on you too. So yeah, it's so important for you to emphasize the time and the money, and then also, of course, the mental attention that's in the background that is just kind of dragging you down of a task you get to complete if you just started it and then got sidetracked somewhere. And sometimes we do get sidetracked and then you're having to wash it again because now it stinks. It's so important to know the why. Like before we jump into why we want to talk about how to improve the action line or the things, like you have to know why you want to do this. Like, is it because you want to have more time to rest or more time to hang out with your family or more time to start a side gig or you write your own book or plan a vacation, whatever it is, right? You need to know why you're doing things.
Yeah. And regarding the mental clutter, I think that's so true that I didn't get to bring up the task switching is a cost in your time too. So if you're working on something that's deep work and then you have to switch tasks, you have to just go start that laundry and then you go back into that deep work task, like creating a slideshow, reviewing articles, it'll take you another 15, 20 minutes again to flow. Whereas if you didn't start that laundry task or whatever folding task in the first place, you would have been in flow, you would have finished that deep work way faster, while somebody else have already started your laundry, folded your laundry, did your dishes, meal prep for you, all the while you're doing creative work and being in your zone of genius. So task switching, you're saying no to other things like real estate, like creating presentation, like educating, like podcasting, et cetera, or writing a book. So I think that's one thing. And then once we talk about all these, the technology that's going to help you create more time, automation, elimination, and then delegation, but don't understand your why so that you work towards your 5 goals for the 90 days instead of using it for busy work that doesn't really get you to the vision that you want to be at in 90 days. And a vision, I talk about a vision when you're 85, 90 years old.
Yeah, it's so important to, like you just said, understand what is it that you need to do? Like, is it that you need to complete all your in-basket results? Or is it that you need to get your kids' invitation done? Or is it that you need to close all the charts? Or what that you do have to use a computer to do research on where you want to live? So it's sometimes we don't realize that all that is important to do and we get sidetracked very easily.
Yeah. And regarding the technology, I think to be a ninja against distraction might be the biggest thing. You want to engineer the human out of it. And that's what we talk about at NASA. You never rely on human motivation or human discipline to accomplish things first. As if there's something that needs to be fixed, you always fix the hardware, or you make it so that the human can make the error, if that makes sense. So in order to maximize our focus, we engineer our own motivation discipline out. I would say there's a few extensions that you can install. I'll talk about the extension first, and then I'll talk about email and text setup that I have. The extension, one of the things I installed is Inbox When Ready. And that is for Gmail. If you use Gmail, you log in and you get distracted. You were meant to do one task or send one email, one request, and then you get distracted by all of the other emails that really don't matter. And they have these catchy titles that call for your attention. So once you install Inbox When Ready,
when you log in to Gmail, everything is blank. Okay. You don't see any row of all these like titles that distract you. And there's a button called show inbox, but you don't have to click it. You just go to compose, or you go to the search box and find the email you want to respond to. And then you just do those first, close it. And then you batch your email checks just once or twice a day. And that's it. And set a time limit, no more than 30 minutes, no more than an hour. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing regarding notifications, one of them is on your laptop. So if you're a laptop, if you have Teams, or if you have Outlook, any sort of email, mine has no notifications at all whatsoever. I will check it on my own terms. I'm not going to check it and let other people disrupt my flow. And that's a boundary that you draw. I have my work phone, so if people need to get a hold of me, they can call me. So if you're emailing somebody, then that means that those whatever topic can wait a few hours. So a lot of us have FOMO that we need to like get on each email or each text right away. And really, when you try this out and disable all notifications, then you realize that really it wasn't that important, that it couldn't wait like 3-4 hours. And then the other thing is with the phone. Yes, I also have personal phone, all texts, basically anything like Messenger related, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Skype, Facebook, Instagram, all social media, Gmail, everything is moved to the second screen. It's not the home screen, but the second screen, and everything is together in an inbox category. And I only check it like once or twice, maybe 3 times a day. And it's time box to about 30 minutes to no more than an hour. And so there's no notifications, no red badges at all, nothing that drops down from the top of your phone, nothing on lock screen. So it just decreases mental clutter. You are doing things on your own terms in the morning instead of responding to others before you get your top 3 goals. Again, this is totally different for patient care and for work. That's why I have a work phone and people can call me when they have emergencies. So that's like a very, very brief summary of technology hacks that I do.
Yeah, I noticed that when I went in, like you said, and put no push notifications on, like you said, WhatsApp or messages or Facebook, like all of a sudden I felt so much calmer because nothing was dinging, dinging, dinging. Like I could, when I decided at my own time, like you said, go in and specifically look at WhatsApp or whatever, and then I could see. And like you said, hours had gone by, and if I quote unquote had missed something, it wasn't anything urgent. If it was urgent, of course they would have called me and we would have addressed that medical situation. But in terms of like family or friends, like there was nothing that was critical. If not, they would have called. And it made a big difference because when you're with a patient and you get dinged, you get dinged, and it might be irrelevant. Like it could just be a Google notification on an email that has nothing to do with nothing, spam, but you already have lost your train of thought in that moment in time. And it really does make a difference. So I have to be cautious though during the week of when I'm on call because I'm not checking my phone as often. And sometimes they just text. So I tell them if it is urgent, call, because then I don't know because I'm not checking as often. But again, it gives me flexibility at the same time to be able to be like, okay, every 3 patients, I can look at my phone or whatever to see if there is something from the hospital. Otherwise, close it right out and don't go into anything else. Like I don't go into the WhatsApp. I know they're not going to be sending me anything through the WhatsApp, or I know they're not going to be sending me through Facebook. So it gives me that time to deal with it on our own time. And sometimes, again, those phones are meant to grab our attention. They're meant to keep us engaged. So it's okay to use them in your own terms when you're ready to. And like you said, luckily, if you can put a timer that can give you some time awareness, because otherwise we can become engulfed into it. And next thing, 3 hours have gone by. And maybe you didn't even accomplish what you had said you wanted to go on and like post or do different things for your. And so, yeah. So I think these are great tools. I was not aware about this inbox when ready, but that sounds also like a good way to minimize how much. And I know that some people already know, but sometimes if you haven't opened like an email on something, like go all the way down and unsubscribe, like, and bunk delete all those so that you don't have like 20,000 emails that you haven't read. And like half of them are those like spam company where you signed up, who knows when, right?
Yeah. And I think a website that can help you do that, it's called Unroll Me. It's a website where it'll scan through your email to look for newsletters or whatever you're subscribed to, and you can bulk unsubscribe, go through it and actually unsubscribe. And then also another thing regarding if you have like 10,000, 20,000 emails, if you haven't seen it for like so long, you just go maybe save like the first week or 2 weeks, but the rest just delete. There's no need to have it be there and weigh on you. And same thing with your desktop. If you are a person with a ton of documents, folders everywhere on your desktop, every time you open it, that's mental clutter. So right now, if you're that type of person, you go to your desktop right now, you create a folder called mess, and then you just drag everything into the folder called mess, and then you can sort it out later. All right. So this will clear your entire desktop and just have one folder. So that's a second thing. And then the last thing regarding the dopamine hits when you look at your phone, that's from the colors, that's from the dings, the badges. So to combat that, you can Google how to turn your phone into grayscale. My phone is usually on grayscale, and it's a shortcut on the button on the right. You just press it three times, it goes back to color. When you have photos or videos you want to view, or anything in color that you need to view, and then you press it three times and then it goes back to grayscale, and it's typically all in grayscale, and all of a sudden your phone's really not that interesting anymore.
Hey, that's a really cool hack. Yeah, because of course we all want to be entertained by the amazing colors and videos and stuff like that. Yeah, that's so cool. Tell me, with your teams, do you usually, like, I know you said you have a virtual assistant, do you usually meet once a week and go over like what went well, what did not? I know some of us are embarrassed or sometimes feel like, oh, they're already helping me, let me not direct them in one way or another, or we just somehow expect people to read our minds and know exactly what we need from them. Do you have any tips for people to really consider a virtual assistant? I know some people might even think, I don't know, that might be very expensive, that's not something I can manage, or I don't need that. But I mean, I know that you do really well in optimizing your time. Give us any hacks or any tips or any advice that you can.
Yeah. Number one question regarding expense. You can get a virtual assistant from Philippines for $4 to $5, maybe $6 an hour. If you really want an expert, $8 to $9 an hour. So that is no problem. Okay. If you compare it with your current hourly rate, and if their hourly rate is less than that, which I don't think anyone is making $5, $6 an hour, the minimum wage is above that, then you can afford a VA, or initially you can split a VA with somebody else, maybe half-time. I would definitely recommend hiring a full-time VA. Mine is 160 hours a month. You trust me, if you are an entrepreneur, or if you're a physician, or if you're a professional who wants to have multiple ventures, who has a family, you have enough things to delegate to a VA. What's stopping you from scaling, from doing the goals that you've set out, is basically getting some help, being able to delegate those mundane tasks that doesn't require your effort. Number two, once you have a VA, yes, we have a weekly session on the wins for the past week, and then feedback for each other on how we can do better. Because it's, I mean, business is business, and nobody's going to look out for your outcomes and your results as much as you will. There's no need to be ashamed or embarrassed in telling somebody feedback on how they can do better. If you don't give them feedback and you don't give them the end result that you're looking for, then how can you expect somebody to do the things that you want? And how can you expect them to think, to know what you're thinking? And it's actually, I feel like it's worse that they can't improve. You feel bad, or you feel frustrated that you're not getting the results that you want. and that they're frustrated that they're getting unclear instructions, and you're frustrated because you gave unclear instructions, but you're frustrated at them, because that's happened to me, of course. And we've learned it took us 4 months to get to a good flow. And I would say the one thing that really changed our workflow to become more efficient was that weekly meeting for me to explain end result of what I'm looking for. Like, hey, the end result is I want to be able to, let's see, I don't know, reach 1,000 subscribers by this month. So do whatever it takes for you to get there, et cetera.
Yeah, that's such good information and good way of you explaining it. Like, it's a dance, right? It goes both ways. Feedback on how well we gave advice on what to do, and feedback on how quickly or how creative they were, how much initiative they took. And it's leveraging that technology, because they don't have to be right here in your house to help you to do things that need to be done. And that's still a technology hack that you can use to your advantage. And sometimes when they are on the other side of the world, like for you might be night, for them is day. So it's like you're almost, not that you're up 24 hours, but it almost feels like you are, because they're an extension of you and they help you to accomplish all these wonderful things. Do they help you with your looking up where you want to travel? I know you love to travel, and I was very impressed by seeing that you have already traveled to all 7 wonders of the world, and you did it before the age of 30. So that's like super impressive. Like, I know now with a 1-year-old, it might be a little bit harder, but it's not impossible to still go and travel. Do you have any of those research happening? Are they helping you to do some of that?
Yeah. Definitely love travel. Before that, regarding technology, one thing with the technology with an assistant is that we use Trello for a project management. So that's been extremely helpful. Trello, and there's Monday as well. We use Trello. And essentially we had columns of like for action. And then there's another column for in work, for review, completed, et cetera. So he's working when I am asleep. He works like my 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. So yes, like he's working on as much as possible. And then the next day I will check his work, review the completed one and the for review. And then we put comments and then there's status, et cetera. So, I mean, it's really made it very seamless. And we have WhatsApp communication. Made it very seamless to assign a task whenever I think about it, and then for him to work on it whenever he logs on. Second thing, yeah, he's done a lot for me. I think with a 1-year-old, I mean, with us, we have actually been able to travel. We've taken 2 road trips, 3 plane rides. We've gone to Hawaii. We're going to Tokyo and going to Taipei. So I think anything is possible. And he has helped us, like booking hotel, giving us top recommendations on top organic restaurants, et cetera. And other things that he helps us with is like putting things in Instacart for groceries. He has reached out to, you know, schedule all pair interviews, nanny interviews. He does all my care.com communication now, register for him for a swim class. I'm only talking about family stuff now. Does my Amazon returns, gives me the QR code. There's just like a ton that he does personally. But briefly, he does all my social media posts, video editing, responding to comments, manages my Facebook group, private group, does my real estate as well, does research and contacts contractors or Airbnb, anything that you need to, does the cash on cash calculator for deals, and then helps me with my productivity MD coaching. So he's kind of like a generalist, jack of all trades, and I wouldn't have been able to expand and scale without him.
Yeah. And it's so amazing how you said that you lean on each other, and you're both growing, and he's expanding his tools, and you're expanding your leadership too, as you're doing both things. And it's allowing you to live at the top of your training, at the top of your life that you want to live, right? Because most of us, sometimes when we become parents, we're like, okay, well, everything stops. It's all about the baby. And it doesn't have to be. We have a baby and I can still do all the things that I would like to do. And it's in leaning into the community that can make a difference. So anything that you would like to share with us that you think has been like your biggest thing that you've learned in the last year or two that you feel like, oh my God, this was so obvious, but I'm so glad that it finally clicked.
I think number one, the baby was a push, like you said, for me to become even more productive than before and have even more time. Well, maybe like same time, except I'm doing way more projects than before. It was a push that I need to get to my five freedoms so that I can maximize at least time freedom, so I can spend time, like have many touch points with him throughout the day, so that I am not having calls till late in the night, or having calls in the morning, or doing real estate or having calls with like other pairs and nannies while I can spend time with my baby. So the realization really, I would say, is learning how to manage an assistant. It's actually an art. If you haven't managed a group of people before, it's an art to delegate a task, to give specific instructions, and to follow up whenever they're at a stopping point, and to give feedback too without accusing or blaming as well, is another thing. To always come from a place of learning, like, did I give the instructions specific enough? Was there something that I said that was not clear that led you to this result? Or is the end goal not clear? Or did I not time block a task? There's been tasks that I gave that I thought should take like 30 minutes, but it took like 4 hours.
Yeah, I remember when I finally started saying, okay, can you please show me how you're spending your hours on doing different things? I was surprised that some of the things were like taking 7 hours to like edit a podcast or edit like a video that I had with my coaching clients. And I was like, actually, we don't need to edit the video from the people who were there already. This is just needs to be put into the place for them to rewatch at their leisure. It doesn't have to be like perfect. I don't know if anybody else was going to see it, right? And so you just don't realize unless you're having, like you said, this open communication and you're seeing what is working, what is not, how much are you spending doing this or doing that. And yeah, they can't really read your mind. I don't know why we think they can. And it's so obvious sometimes. But the more that you learn to do this communication, this sets you up, again, to be able to have good communication with your patients, good communication with your family, good communication with your neighbors. And yeah, it's all about negotiation at the end of the day. And like you said, being aware, what is the end result? And how can I do that without burning myself out? And who can help me? And I know you have a Facebook group, and I know I already said you have a podcast, but I'm pretty sure my listeners are going to be like, okay, I need to go talk to her. Tell us, where can they find you?
Thank you so much. And they can find me at itsnotrocketscienceshow.com. I am transitioning to productivitymd.com, but that's not quite ready yet. And then also, if you go to It's Not Rocket Science Show, there's a link over there that you can book a 30-minute complimentary productivity call so I can take a look at your situation, customize a strategy plan for you in just 30 minutes. And I hope I could get you back 10 hours a week. You can find me on all the social media. That is Ann Sung MD on Facebook, on Instagram. And then also I do want to bring up one last thing. In terms of the hacks that you said that really made a difference. I know we talked a lot about a virtual assistant. For those of you who are thinking about it, I would suggest talking to a recruiter. If you reach out to me, I'll give you the recruiter's name that I use to find them, because it's an art to interview them too. And then, so if it's something that you want to do right now, you can say like, I don't have an assistant right now, but what else can I do? I would say the other 80-20 routine or habit that I not recently adopted, but I learned from my flow class, was that I would set out 3 goals the night before, not the morning of. So the night before, I already have top 3 tasks to do for the day. I've laid out the articles, the PDFs, opened it up, the slideshow that I need to read already, so I don't have to be searching for it in my email. And then so the next morning, if you really want to be productive, you do sleep to flow technique. You go wake up, go to the restroom, sit down on the computer, bam, in an hour, knock out all 3 things or 2 hours, and you would be done for the day. You would have won for the day. So I would say definitely do the top 3 priorities the night before every night. That's really going to help you. And if you have a day where you require a lot of deep work, a lot of things that you have to like expert information you need to digest, then do the sleep to flow technique.
wake up early so you're not distracted by family perhaps or other people, and try that out. And I think it's going to work for you really well.
Thank you. That's amazing advice. And the last thing before I let you go, what do you hope to do for fun in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to Tokyo with the baby and then Taiwan for a wedding. We're going to take the baby to see all of the family as well. So in 3 to 5 years, I would say just take our baby through all the national parks, to all different countries every year, to even though he won't remember, but that's okay. It's not that he will remember. It's the stimulation or the different culture, the sight and taste will mold him into, I hope, an open, resilient child. The memory won't form, but I think the neural network and the different types of modeling, I think will still instill in him some sort of effects. When he's, this is like way down the line, I would say like RV trip around the country. And then when he's like 8 or 10 years old, with maybe my other babies, future babies, we'll go to trek the Annapurna trek in the Everest region. That would be awesome. I just want to share resilience, courage, and compassion to our kids by doing fun things around the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. Again, if we don't know what lights us up and how we are trying to shape our family, and we don't know the why, then what's the sense of talking about all these hacks? So it's so good to keep that in your mind, front and center, because this is why we're doing all those things. So thank you again for sharing your time with us today here. And I know my listeners are going to get so much from that, and I'm sure they're going to be reaching out to you. So again, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Deanna. It was an honor to be here. I hope the audience was able to tune in. And of course, I'm always here if you guys want to reach out to me for any specific questions. Thank you so much.